Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, or this evening, rather, on our primetime edition of Phase 3 Wellness. I welcome you wherever you may be listening from around the world, here in the U.S., and a special welcome to my friends over in Costa Rica, as always. Again, I'd like to thank you for listening. We have an interesting show for you today. We're going to follow our same format where we'll have the first segment will be the Week in Natural News Review. After that, we'll follow the Healing Food segment. And thirdly, we'll look at the Healing Herb or Supplement segment. Now, I'd like to remind you, if you want to call in for a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. You can visit me over at Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also go over to Phase 3 Wellness or Phase 3 Ministries, as well as Natural Health for Christians. And we also have a group over there on Facebook as well, as well as a couple of pages. We have a very interesting show for you. We didn't open up the chat room here. Let me open up the chat, because sometimes here on the chat, there are people who like to log in there and ask a question or make statements. And sometimes I put links there to some of the articles that I'm referring. Now, if you haven't listened before, in our first segment, we talk about news articles on that connect health that have come out during the week. And we have a few good ones. We talk about and analyze these articles. And then in the second segment, the Healing Food segment, we look at or discuss a food that might be or that is beneficial, or food, fruits, vegetables, nuts, or some food has shown itself beneficial in terms of helping our health. And then finally, we talk about in our last segment a herb or a supplement that is very, very beneficial, either that we know from research or research and practical application in practice. So again, I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm a traditional naturopath, and we're going to take a brief break. And right after a brief break, we're going to come back, and we're going to jump right into our first article. We're going to be in our first segment with our first article, and we're not going to. I think you'll enjoy this article, or this show, this segment, as well as the entire show. Be back in just a moment.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and we're going to jump right into our first article. I'd remind you, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I know that a lot of people don't necessarily like to call in, so if you have a question or comment, you can make it also at blogtalkradio.com. And you just go there / Phase 3 Wellness, and we have the chat room up there. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Our first article is coming from naturalnews.com this week, and it's entitled, it was published on the 2nd, so about 3 days ago, and it's entitled, Is Your Toothpaste Harming Your Health? And in this particular article, we're told, or we read article, the author tells us that in our modern world, the message to brush, floss, and gargle is drummed into us by the media as well as dentists. And delivering that message also, the article says, our lives may not depend on our commitment to oral hygiene, or our teeth definitely do. So for many of us, the dental routine is performed religiously, often several times a day, without thought for the efficacy or safety of the product we're using. The article says further that what many don't realize is that in our attempts to fight off tooth decay and bad breath, we may actually be using dental products that not only don't live up to their promises for healthier teeth, but they may also be hazardous to our health. Now, before we go any further into the article, let me first say that dental health is very, very important. In fact, there's been studies that have connected poor dental hygiene to heart disease, especially in women, but to all of us. And it goes back to the concept of holistic medicine. You have to remember, you have dentists to treat teeth, your cardiologist to treat your heart, and you have different type of doctors, generally speaking, endocrinologists to deal with your endocrine system, your pancreas, and everything of that nature. But what you have to realize is that the body is not broken up into bits and pieces that way. And you know, as those who listen to the show know, if you don't listen, I am a Christian naturopath, and I address health from a Christian perspective. I believe that the Creator created the body, and he understands the body, and he teaches us how the body functions. That's not to say that we are to cast aside science, because true science is in harmony with the Creator, and so, and specifically the Bible. And so when we talk about holistic treatment, we have to understand that the Creator did not make the body parts independent of one another, but they're all of our body systems are interdependent and interrelated. So even though you may be an expert in the endocrine system, an issue may not have necessarily originated in the endocrine system, but it may be manifesting itself in the endocrine system. And so if you don't understand where else it may have originated from, you will be treating the symptoms and not the cause. You may have all of the expertise in the endocrine system in the world, but if you don't understand, if the problem that you may be dealing with did not originate there but simply manifesting itself there, then it's not going to do much good long-term of a true healing of the underlying cause. So now back to the article. The article says the issue, and it points out some of the dangers with some of the poisons in this particular article, toothpaste. And so the common questionable, says this article, synthetic ingredients found in many toothpastes include SLS, which is called sodium lauryl sulfate. And the article says it is a foaming agent known to irritate tissues. It says SLS increases skin permeability, allowing other chemicals to be absorbed more readily into your body. Another chemical that's pointed out by this article to be in toothpaste is another one called SLES, sodium lauryl sulfate. And it says that it's commonly contaminated with dioxin and reacts with other ingredients to form nitrosamines. The next one that the article lists is triclosan, and it was originally registered as a pesticide and is linked to cancer. It goes on to say that it disrupts thyroid hormones and also affects heart function. Next is fluoride, which is linked to cancer. It is a systematic poison, and it damages the thyroid. Finally, he says there may also be other potentially harmful ingredients lurking inside your toothpaste tube, such as artificial flavors, colors, and sweeteners. The article says further, the problem doesn't end with your toothpaste, however, as dental care products such as mouthwash and dental floss are also potentially hazardous to your health. He says mouthwash has been linked to oral cancers and dental floss coated with carcinogenic wax. The author says further, dental products such as toothpaste and mouthwash are used by most people at least once each day, often several times a day, and the ingredients in these products are readily transported into the body through mucous membranes, so it is advisable to ensure the products that you use are safe. He says, however, in some countries there is no requirement for full disclosure of the ingredients in dental products because they are classified as drugs rather than cosmetics. This makes it difficult, if not impossible, for those who care about what they use in their mouth, on their mouths, and their mouths of their children to avoid unsafe ingredients, the article says. It also says further that the good news is that there are safe options available for cleaning your teeth. Safe and healthy products that do list their ingredients are being manufactured by ethical companies. Increasingly, he says there is more all-natural, even organic toothpaste and mouthwashes being made available to increasingly health-conscious consumers. And so here we have a very interesting article, and it talks about some of the chemicals and the dangerous byproducts that are put in commercial toothpaste. But as the article points out, there are definitely alternatives you can use. You can even make your own toothpaste. Many people do, or you can buy some of the good natural, even organic toothpaste. Look also into healthier mouthwashes. You can also make your own mouthwashes. There's so many things that can be done, and it's clear that you don't want to be, if at all possible, using these poisons. And as the article pointed out, when you're putting them directly into your mouth, the permeability of the chemicals that are added, or rather the chemicals that are added to the toothpaste, and I suspect probably also in some mouthwashes, can cause the mucous membranes or the membranes within the mouth to be even more permeable than they are naturally. And these things can go into the bloodstream, and it can cause big problems. A little bit here and there, you may be saying, well, what's the big deal? But it's not so much a little bit here and there. It's the totality of brushing and flossing and using mouthwash day in and day out for years. With these chemicals in small amounts. They can accumulate in the tissues, and over time your body becomes toxic. And you add that together with a bad diet, not getting enough sleep, not following those laws of health that we talk about on here. Again, those laws of health are trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. I think I may do a series on each one of them and explain the scientific reason behind each of those. And these eight laws of health, which I extract from the book of Genesis initially, given by the Creator, they can't be improved upon. When followed with along with a scientific application, they are very, very, very efficient at not only preventing but also curing diseases. And so, again, if you're using the regular commercial toothpaste, I very, very, very highly suggest that you begin to seek out alternatives, natural alternatives to respectable, ethical companies, or you can begin to make some of these things yourself if you wish. So again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness, and that article was from naturalnews.com. Now we're going to move on to our next article at this point. This is an article from Dr. Mercola, and this is the main topic that the show title is based on today. And basically we're going to talk about, are supplements, how many people have died from supplements? And it's interesting when you think about it, we begin to hear a lot more of things in the news about supplement, something or vitamins dangerous. And so let's talk about this for a moment. Sometimes we have to understand that some of what we're hearing is propaganda. And you have to understand that some things are not propaganda. Some things are not propaganda. Some things are propaganda. So in this particular article, it was from Mercola.com. And it was published on the 6th, which was also about 3 days ago. And Dr. Mercola penned this article, and he starts out by pointing out how he was on the Dr. Oz show. He says he went to New York to tape a segment with Dr. Oz on multivitamins. And he said it's actually scheduled to air on tomorrow, which would be February the 10th. And He going to point out that it was only a 10-minute segment, so he didn't have enough time to discuss in detail the false and often repeated quote stating that dietary supplements are unregulated. And you do hear that. You hear that quite often. And so let's talk about this, because a lot of people are taking supplements, and supplements are a multi-billion-dollar-a-year business. And so he says, he goes on to point out how this is a patently false statement. And he says, and you only have to look at the very first sentence on the Food and Drug Administration website, or the FDA website, to settle that dispute. And then he cites, or he quotes the quote from the FDA's website. And I'm going to quote. It says, quote, FDA regulates both finished dietary supplement products and dietary ingredients. The FDA regulates dietary supplements under a different set of regulations than those covering conventional foods and drug products. Under the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994, FDA is responsible for taking action against any unsafe dietary supplement product after it reaches the market, end quote. So again, whenever you hear your doctor or you hear some propaganda on the television or you hear someone promoting something, a drug that they're promoting, and while at the same time trying to minimize the effect of a natural product or herb, that's of a high quality, because you do have some unscrupulous people in the natural health industry as well who do things that they ought not to be doing. But I'm talking about high quality supplements or herbs. And he points out how indeed these supplements are in fact regulated. And this can be proven quite simply by going to the FDA's own website. Dr. Mercola goes on to point out that Dr. Paul Offit, as well as others, want supplements to be regulated like drugs, and he says ostensibly to ensure their safeness and effectiveness. And then he asks the question, but are drugs really safer? And then he points out prescription medications kill over 100,000 people each year, even when properly prescribed, while vitamins have not caused a single death in 27 years. So think about it for a minute. You have Dr. Paul Offit and others who want supplements to be regulated like drugs, and yet 100,000 people a year are killed by medications, even when they're properly prescribed, while over the last 27 years, not a single death has been caused by a supplement. And Dr. Mercola goes on to point out, if the motive is safety, as they claim, wouldn't they start with the products that are the most dangerous and kill the most people? Zero deaths over 25 years, certainly not a good starting point, says Dr. Mercola. Points out further, painkillers alone kill 23,000 Americans each year, and Vioxx, created by Merck, was responsible for over 60,000 deaths before being put off the market. And that was just one drug approved by the FDA as safe. So here we have a situation to where you have people saying, oh, herbs and supplements are not, they're not regulated. They're not regulated. They're not regulated. And they're not safety. And yet, you have, in 27 years, not one death has been caused by a vitamin, while over at least 100,000 people are killed each year by properly prescribed medications. And as Dr. Mercola points out, 60,000 people alone were killed by Vioxx. And this was a drug that was claimed to be safe by the FDA. Mercola points out further in this particular article, he says, as for the counterfeit supplements, yes, some illegal products do enter the market, as I said earlier, but so do counterfeit drugs. So does the existence of illegal counterfeit drugs indicate a lack of drug regulation? And so here he talks about there's a difference between regulation and enforcement. And so he points out that we have all the regulations we need, and many we created for industry instead of consumer benefit. So that, again, we have to consider that. We have to understand that, too. When we're hearing these things, we have to remember oftentimes, when someone wants to, especially in terms of the medical field, not only the medical field, but the medical fields, because we're talking about natural medicine and medicine as a whole, many times the benefits that we're trying to protect the consumer, or this is for the consumer's benefit, is just a smokescreen. Many times it's for the benefit of a particular industry or a particular company, when in reality the benefit of the consumer is not even regarded or secondary. So you have to remember that when you're hearing these things. Do your own research. Try and research from both sides of the issue, and then use common sense as well. And this is where a lot of people have been doing, and this is one of the reasons that natural medicine, alternative medicine, complementary medicine, whatever you want to call it, is growing. So so effectively and so quickly. Now, Dr. McCullough goes on to say further in this particular article that he says we have all the regulations we need. And he says if anything is lacking, it's the enforcement of the regulations that are already in place, both for drugs, food, and supplements. He says although a case could be made that enforcement is perhaps greater when it comes to supplements than drugs, illegal products, whether drugs, counterfeit drugs, or a supplement backed with drugs, they are all illegal by existing regulations. He says further, as far as enforcement goes, we should really start by the body count. There is no comparison in terms of safety, as supplements have one of the safest track records of any consumable product on the market. And as he points out, he goes on to say further in the article, he points out, as he mentioned there, that essentially it seems to be in many cases that the FDA goes after natural products more aggressively than they do those people who put out drugs that they shouldn't be putting out. He says that the FDA can and has shut down supplement makers that do not meet these regulations. For example, he says last year in November 2013, federal agents seized more than $2 million worth of supplements once it was discovered that the product contained DMAA, which is basically a chemical drug. He says, or a stimulant rather, it's a constituent that shouldn't have been in them. And as he points out here, DMA is a vasoconstricting stimulant linked to potential cardiovascular health risks. And he points out how the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, or the FTC, is also quite active. Most recently, he said, the number of weight loss companies were scrutinized by the FTC, and four were charged with false advertising, according to CNN. And he cites CNN as saying, quote, the FTC has reached a settlement with Sensa Inc. and a partial settlement with Lean Spa LLC. The press release also announced the charges filed against L-Octane and HCG Diet Direct. He says, so do we really have a problem with the regulations or enforcement, he asks. And then he says, these agencies have full rights under current regulations to pull any products that are either unsafe or improperly marketed. Not only have they exercised those rights in the past, they've also ramped up their efforts. And then he goes on to point out how for the past 27 years, more in detail, and counting, that there have been no deaths from supplements. He says, meanwhile, vitamin supplements have been proven extremely safe. And he points out that they are actually maybe the safest consumable product category on the market. 3 years ago, osteoarthromolecular.org issued a press release, he says, with the descriptive title, No Deaths from Vitamins, None at All in 27 Years. And then he cites a press release where it says, over a 27-year period, vitamin supplements have been alleged to have caused the deaths of a total of 11 people in the United States. A new analysis of the U.S. Poison Control Center annual report data indicates that there have, in fact, been no deaths whatsoever from vitamins, none at all, in the 27 years that such reports have been available. Then he goes on to say, it goes on to explain how the American Association of Poison Control Centers, the AAPCC, attributes the cause of death. And the AAPCC uses a four-point scale called a relative contribution to fatality, or the RCF, with each number on the scale having the following meaning. One, undoubtedly responsible. Two, probably responsible. Three, contributory. And four, probably not responsible. And he says the investigation done by Orthomolecular Medicine News Service's editorial board revealed that the singular deaths from supplements listed for 2006 had an RCF rating of 4, meaning the supplement in question was in fact probably not responsible after all. To quote or cite the press release further from the orthomolecularnutrition.org, or orthomolecular nutrition, or orthomolecular.org, in the other 7 years reporting one or more of the remaining 10 alleged vitamin fatalities, studying the AAPCC reports reveal an absence of any RCF rating for vitamins in any of those years. If there is no relative contribution to fatality at all, then the substance did not contribute to the death at all. Furthermore, in each of those remaining 7 years, there is no substantiation provided to demonstrate that any vitamin was cause of death. If there is insufficient information about the cause of death to make a clear-cut declaration of cause, then subsequent assertions that vitamins cause death are not evidence-based. That's true. It's not evidence-based at all. It's propaganda. So we need to understand that when you hear that, oh, vitamins and these things are not regulated by the FDA, number one, we found out that that's simply not true, and that can be shown to be not true by simply going to the FDA's website. So they are regulated. they're regulated by a different standard than our drugs because they're not as dangerous as drugs. And so Dr. Marcola goes on to say further in this article, other data further support the remarkable safety record of dietary supplements. For example, data from the European Union indicate that pharmaceutical drugs are 62,000 times as likely to kill you as a dietary supplement. And he said this should come as no surprise that the FDA-approved drugs are responsible for 80% of poorly controlled fatalities each year. Now, it is amazing that people still buy into some of the propaganda that, oh, drugs or rather supplements, they're not regulated, they could be dangerous, and this, again, this is a lot of this is propaganda. It's not based on the facts. And so most people don't realize how the incredible amounts of a supplement that you would have to take to actually kill you. Most supplements, you would not even be able to humanly consume the amount at one time it would take to kill you. And again, this is the difference. So we have to understand when we hear these things to understand that much of what we're hearing are the interests of either industries or companies and not necessarily interests for on behalf of consumers. And so, interestingly enough, as Marcola just pointed out, the European Union indicate that pharmaceutical drugs are 62,000 times as likely to kill you as a dietary supplement. And it's interesting, food for thought, that the FDA-approved drugs are responsible for 80% of poorly controlled fatalities each year, and yet we call it medicine. Marcola goes on to point out in this article, he says it's worth noting that supplements that are deemed hazardous, rather, are typically spiked with some form of pharmaceutical drug or synthetic ingredient. With very few exceptions, it's not the natural vitamin or herb in itself that is shown to be dangerous. He says suspect products almost always end up being of the diet or fat burner variety, along with muscle building and high energy products. He's lumping vitamins, minerals, and herbs with long historical use in with these highly adulterated types of supplements is unfair and inaccurate in the extreme, he says, but most people don't make this separation when they read that supplements are dangerous in the news. And so you have to realize, like I said earlier, there has to be some very serious propaganda going on for over 100,000 people a year to die from properly prescribed drugs, not to mention over-the-counter drugs, et cetera. And yet, the mind can so hear that supplements are dangerous, and even professional people, doctors and whatnot, who are supposed to be trained and supposed to be have disciplined minds and supposed to be able to base their decisions upon evidence, many times we become emotional and make emotional decisions and have emotional outbursts with regard to the supplements. And so it is amazing that we will be at that point. But what you're finding that a lot of people who use common sense or who've experienced not so beneficial results and from some of the drugs they've been given have gone to the natural side, and many of them have gotten excellent results. And so people are using their common sense in many cases. And again, I don't mean to imply that there's not a place for allopathic medicine. There is a place for allopathic medicine, as I've said here before, especially in terms of trauma and some other issues. But for healing, for fitness, for chronic disease treatment, et cetera, what we call traditional or allopathic medicine should really be the alternative, and the mainstay should be alternative, what we call alternative or natural medicine. Now, Dr. Marcola, in this particular article, goes on to point out that is there an issue of the efficacy of using these herbs and vitamins? In other words, how effective are they? And then he points out, and I'm quoting him, now he says, as recently as December 2013, the media was again rife with articles bashing supplements as being either dangerous or useless or both. And then he says, Mark Sisson published some insightful commentary on these attacks, including the following, which was in response to an editorial in the Annals of Internal Medicine titled, Enough is Enough, Stop Wasting Money on Vitamin and Mineral Supplements. And so then he cites, Dr. Marcola cites a response to this article by this particular author, Mark Sisson. And Sisson responds by saying, quote, the study the authors of the editorial chose to examine looked at the effect of multivitamins on cognitive decline and memory. Turns out multivitamin intake had no effect on cognitive decline or memory when compared to placebo. Of course, even if multivitamins have no effect on cognitive health, it doesn't say anything about other health conditions. Just last year, a study using the PHS2 data found a beneficial effect on cancer incidence from multivitamin use, with daily multivitamin use predicted a moderate but significant reduction in overall cancer risk, particularly in men with a history of cancer. So again, you have to remember when you hear these things, we have to remember that the pharmaceutical companies, industries, the insurance industries, and some of the other industries have a monopoly, or they're seeking a monopoly on healthcare. And this is one of the reasons healthcare costs are so high. And not only do they have a monopoly, but they have gotten that they've been able to influence the states to set up laws in most states that hinder your and my right as consumers to choose which practitioners we would like to go to, without having to come out of our own pocket with money. You have insurance companies in many cases won't cover natural products. People have to pay out of their own pocket, but people are become so wise to billions of dollars a year people spend out of their own pockets for their health. And so Dr. Mercola goes on to say in this very insightful article, he says, Dr. Alan R. Gabby, MD, author of numerous publications and books, including the textbook Nutrition Medicine, also weighed in on this issue, stating that, quote, the editorial appears to be biased and to lack scholarship, as it is based on selective reporting and a superficial analysis of the vast and complex body of research on the health benefits of nutritional supplements. He also noted that two recent double-blind trials, in fact, did find positive effects from multivitamins on cognitive decline, neither of which were mentioned in the derogatory editorial. He says, quote, in one of those studies, daily supplementation with 400 micrograms of folic acid and 100 micrograms of vitamin B12 significantly improved cognitive function in elderly men. The other study showed that daily supplementation with 800 micrograms of folic acid and 500 micrograms of vitamin B12 and 20 milligrams of vitamin B6 slowed the rate of brain atrophy or shrinkage in elderly individuals suffering from mild cognitive impairment. So here we go again. You have selective propaganda type reporting, where they report something in the news, it gets a lot of traction with it, but they leave out certain facts or elements that would give the listener a totally different view had they not done this, or had they not left out certain other research, which would tend to not be so favorable to what they're trying to use, or either not even taking the totality of the research. And so, like for instance, as he goes on to point out here in this next section of this article, supplement use could actually save our healthcare system billions and billions of dollars each year. And he cites a 2002 Journal of American Medical Association reference where he says it reversed its longstanding anti-vitamin stance with the publication of two scientific reviews that were based on 30 years worth of scientific papers looking at vitamins in relation to chronic diseases. Both of these reviews ended up recommending daily multivitamin supplementation for all adults based on the accumulated evidence. So here you had, as far back as 2002, the Journal of American Medical Association had a long-standing anti-view on supplementation with vitamins and minerals, etc. But they were forced, based on the force of the evidence, to change that position, and they did so in 2002, as was shown in their publication. And as Dr. Mercola points out here, and so let me look go into a little bit what they said. Now that was 12 years ago, and the evidence supporting the use of dietary supplement has gotten stronger since they came out with that. So, but Mercola points out further. He says perhaps the most egregious of all last year's supplement bashing was a stark contrast to one of the most news-breaking studies published that year. He said the report titled Smart Prevention, Healthcare Cost Savings Resulting from the Targeted Use of a Dietary Supplement was published in September 2013. He says it concluded that appropriate use of just 8 different dietary supplements could save the U.S. health care system billions of dollars each year, and this was reported by Drugstore News. Now, let's stop for a minute. Here we just introduced the Affordable Care Act, properly known as Obamacare. And one of the reasons that it was introduced, one of the reasons given was that on its current track, the current healthcare system, or the healthcare system we had before Obamacare, was going to break the country. And this was agreed on by both sides, Republicans and Democrats. They're like, listen, if we don't do something within 10 years, the healthcare system is going to bankrupt the country. Now, as a result, we had Obamacare was born. Now, if you think about this report that came out that was reported by Drugstore News, they're saying that if the people just used 8 different dietary supplements, it could save the U.S. healthcare system billions. And Dr. Marcola in his article, now he quotes from them, from this report, and he says, quote, the report examined 4 different chronic diseases and the potential for healthcare cost savings when U.S. adults 55 years and older diagnosed with these chronic diseases use 1 of 8 different dietary supplement regimens. It demonstrated that supplementation at preventative intake levels in high-risk populations can reduce the number of disease-associated medical events, representing the potential for hundreds of millions and, in some cases, billions of dollars in savings. And Marcola goes on to add, he says, I would add that this report actually failed to review several of the more well-known health benefits of vitamin D, which is one of the least expensive supplements. For example, he says, experts estimate it could cut the rate of cancer by half. So just vitamin D alone, D3, we've talked about this, that on here before, D3 is the ultimate form of vitamin D. And experts believe it can slash cancer by 50%, 50%. He says, for example, expert estimated could cut cancer, the rate of cancer by half. So were you to factor that into the calculation, the savings could likely go up to the factor of 1,000 or more. Because think about how much money it costs to treat one cancer patient traditionally. And so here we have, again, this is an excellent article. Again, this article was at Marcola.com. It was entitled The Dr. Oz Show, Information I Couldn't Share. And he's talking about basically the attack on supplements. Are supplements dangerous? Have you bought into the propaganda that your supplements are dangerous and that pharmaceuticals are more beneficial for you? And so he goes on to say in this article that in 2009 alone, there were nearly 4.6 million drug-related visits to emergency rooms in America, with more than half due to adverse reactions to prescription medications, most of which were being taken exactly as prescribed. He says, so where is the real danger to your health? Is it from vitamin supplements or pharmaceutical drugs? He says he also refers to a what he calls a veritable mountain of data that shows that pharmaceuticals pose a significant threat to your health and should be used with extreme caution. And he says drugs, not supplements, are the hazardous products. And then he cites again Dr. Paul Offit, Congress Henry Waxman, and Senator Durbin, as well as others who are out there who are trying to come up with more regulations that we don't need. Because we already have all the regulations necessary. So again, remember, supplements and vitamins and herbs, they are regulated, but you don't hear that. Finally, he points out how these people are trying to undermine herbs and supplements, notwithstanding that drugs are 62,000 times more likely to kill you than your vitamins. And citing Dr. Moffitt, who's one of the major ones pushing for this, he says that if Moffitt was worried about the safety of his patients, he might start looking into the food offered at children's hospitals, including the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where he is a chief of infectious diseases. He says, even though many of these kids are critically ill, why are there vending machines loaded with typical junk foods that promote chronic poor health and fast food eateries, and fast food eateries are oftentimes found right on the premises? He said that there was a 2012 report by Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and in this report it revealed the worst of children's hospitals in all 50 states and the District of Columbia was Gainesville, Florida Hospital, where it hosts at least 5 fast food outlets on its premises. And so here you have people who are undermining, minimizing the great benefits of vitamins, supplements, herbs, and yet while at the same time promoting or allowing things to be promoted at their hospitals and in their places that actually laid the foundation for the people that they're treating in the first place. And finally, he says, with respect to Dr. Offit, who's promoting the restriction on your liberties for vitamins and supplements, he says Dr. Moffitt received a reported $350,000 grant from Merck to develop a rotavirus vaccine and actually has served on the scientific advisory board for Merck. He says he received another estimated $6 million when CHOP CHOP sold the patent for the Rototech vaccine he developed. He was also on the CDC advisory board for the approval that approved the addition of a rotavirus vaccine to the U.S. National Immunization Program in 1998. And so here you have this guy who was attacking or trying to minimize vitamins and supplements and trying to make you think that your vitamins and supplements are dangerous when he's in an industry that kills 100,000 people a year, that peddles drugs that are 62,000 times more likely to kill you than your vitamin supplement, and yet we will have a tendency to believe him simply because he calls himself a doctor, an MD, while seeking to hurt you essentially by bad advice. My name is Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'd like to thank you for joining me. We're going to continue now, but we're not going to take a break. We normally would take a break, but we're not because I went a little long in that segment than normal. So we're just going to go over to our healing food segment. And again, this is the segment that I normally talk about, a food that normally, sometimes I go in and talk about a fruit or vegetable or whatever and the benefits of that fruit or that vegetable. And today in this particular element, a segment, I just want to really briefly mention, even this is not directly on point as we usually talk, but I want to talk about how there's a New York City allowed a doctor to prescribe fresh fruit and vegetables as treatment for obesity, and the FDA actually declared veggies that are unapproved drugs. And again, we're going to talk about this in our healing food segment this week. And it's interesting. But now this is, I want to base this, I read an article on it actually, and it was basically, in this particular article, it pointed out how it's actually difficult these days to find examples of the government doing anything that makes sense. And the article pointed out how, and they said that that's all the more reason why a program embraced by New York City is newsworthy. And it pointed out how it is dubbed the Fruit and Vegetables Prescription Program, and which allows doctors to actually, quote, prescribe fresh fruit and vegetables to overweight or obese patients by giving them health bucks that are redeemable at local farmers markets. So here we go, that we have a foods being prescribed as medicine to children who are obese or overweight. So again, as we've talked about on here before, the closer you eat in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, and the closer you eat to the garden, the healthier you will be it in terms of losing weight, reducing your risk of cancer, diabetes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Remember the colors of the rainbow. When you're looking at your fruits and vegetables, especially red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, and the closer these colors are when you're shopping for these foods, and the closer they are to the garden, not in flashy packages, the better off your health will be. Now, in this particular article, they pointed out how this particular program where they allow doctors to basically prescribe fresh fruit and vegetables to overweight or obese patients by giving them health bucks made New York City the largest U.S. city to officially acknowledge that fruits and vegetables actually have a role to play in preventing degenerative diseases. Now, this is an idea, even as pointed out in this particular article, that the FDA insists is delusional. According to the FDA, in that particular article, there is no such thing as any fruit, vegetable, supplement, or superfood that has any ability whatsoever to prevent, treat, or cure any disease. Therefore, if I, as a naturopathic doctor, were to tell you, listen, you have this particular disease, we're going to treat this disease, you have cancer, for instance, and what we're going to do, we're going to use juicing, we're going to use exercise, we're going to use sunlight therapy, we're going to use hydrotherapy, which is water therapy, we're going to use superfoods, we're going to use herbs, we're going to use high doses of supplements to cure your cancer. And if you follow exactly what I tell you to do, your cancer can be cured. And we're going to use prayer and trust in the Creator and these laws of health. I can be thrown in jail, locked up, not allowed to practice again, and any medical doctor or any doctor in many states, the same thing can happen to them because they believe that this idea is delusional. that these things can do anything. They say you need to use our drug or the drug that we approve as safe to use for these particular diseases. So in this segment here, the healing food segment, one of the things I want to impress upon you, normally I could talk about a particular food and talk about the benefits of it, the nutrients in it, but fruits and vegetables as a whole are beneficial for you. It's interesting to understand how, according to the FDA, in this particular article, the mere, quote, prescribing of food as something to prevent obesity actually automatically can transform that food now into a drug. That's under current FDA regulations. And so if you think about it, if I'm going to prescribe food for obesity, technically speaking, according to their current regulations, I would be prescribing a food which now it becomes a drug because I prescribe it to help reverse a particular disease of something that has been defined as a disease. And so it's interesting that New York City has basically adopted a program where they allow doctors to prescribe food, if you will. Again, you can read a little bit more about that particular article, the whole article. I'm not going to take your time because we're out of time. I don't have time, but if you're on the site here, I'll post a link to the article in the chat room, and you can go and read the entire article. Very, very interesting article. And it's found at naturalnews.com. So I've just put the link in the chat room box. If you're there at blogtalkradio.com/phase3wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I want to thank you for listening. We have about 12 minutes left. In this last segment, we're going to go over and talk about some healing supplements and herbs. We've been talking about some in general. But we want to talk a little bit more specifically and about some herbs and how they work and to what extent you should take them. And I really hadn't decided specifically which one I wanted to talk about, but I want to talk about something. Let me think. What should we talk about? What herb should we talk about here? We'll talk about one of my favorites here. We talked about this one once way back some time ago when we were on the air here in Orlando at a local radio station. One of my favorites is called white willow bark, and it's basically nature's aspirin. And white willow bark is one that I use in some of my pain formulas, and it's a very, very effective supplement or herb when you combine it with other herbs that are known to be very, very effective for inflammation, like turmeric or curcumin, which we've talked about on here before, and flaxseed. These are some of the things that help draw inflammation out of the body, because that's typically what's causing the pain, and is typically inflammation. And so white willow bark is called nature's aspirin. And the reason I call it nature's aspirin is because, or it's known as nature's aspirin, is because the aspirin, the normal aspirin that you take now, that you buy in the stores, was basically the molecular structure was actually copied from white willow bark, and a synthetic form was made of it. And this is what you get aspirin from. And so like aspirin, white willow bark is actually a proven painkiller, but it doesn't have all of the side effects that you get from aspirin. And as I mentioned before, the pain-killing effects of white willow bark, they are slower than other ones than aspirin. In other words, aspirin will work faster. That's unless you combine white willow bark with some other things. Now, this is what I said earlier. I would combine white willow bark in a powerful mixture of some sort, and I would combine herbs with it, like maybe cayenne and some other things, ginger, along with some of the other anti-inflammatory herbs to help deliver it to its particular area, so it would speed up the action quicker than if you just used it by itself. But typically, it takes longer to start working than aspirin does, but it lasts longer in its pain-relieving capacities. Again, just like with aspirin, There are several uses for white willow bark, which include fever, colds, minor infections, acute as well as chronic rheumatoid disorders, even mild headaches, as well as pain, which is caused by inflammation. Since the white willow bark is very high in what we call tannins, which means that it may also be helpful in the use of some of the gastrointestinal disorders that you or a loved one may have. And let's look at some of the things that there's some evidence for white willow bark and how they've been used to help. Some of the things that's been used to help. There was a clinical study involving about 10 patients who had radiation treatment, and they found that Selig SST, which is a saliva-stimulating lozenge containing the active principles of willow bark, relieved their symptoms of dry mouth and improved their sleep and their speech. So again, there you have with the benefit of white willow bark, again, for dry mouth. Also, white willow bark has also been beneficial in helping headache, migraine, osteoarthritis, as well as toothache pain. So aspirin has an advantage over white willow bark, again, as I said before, because it will act faster because it's a drug. But again, you have to take into consideration that the white willow bark, because it's working on the underlying problem, it's going to work, but it's going to work and it's going to last longer. The beneficial effects are going to last longer. Not only that, you don't have to worry about the gastrointestinal bleeding that's typically caused by aspirin that's taken over a period of time, which can be very, very problematic. And again, as I mentioned before, the pain-relieving constituents of the white willow bark, they continue to circulate in the bloodstream, relieving pain for a longer amount of time. Now, that the amount of pain-relieving compounds available from willow bark remains at stable levels in your bloodstream for a number of hours, where aspirin does not do so. Not only that, as I said earlier, the blood platelets are not affected in your body to the extent that they're affected by aspirin. So you don't have to worry about, like, some people would get nosebleeds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These types of things and this free thinning of the blood to the extent it's caused by aspirin is not caused by white willow bark. There's been some clinical testing of white willow bark that has been conducted in England, and the researchers at the Center for Complementary Health Studies at the University of Exeter gave 82 participants with chronic arthritic pain either Rumilex, which is a herbal drug containing, or so-called drug containing white willow bark or placebo. After 2 months of use, the white willow bark medication was found to be superior, of course, to the placebo pill. And this is just some of the evidence, hardcore evidence, that is available with regard to white willow bark. Now, there's also been studies showing that white willow bark has pain-relieving effects on people with chronic lower back and osteoporotic pain within a week. So again, you know, number one, you want to ask, even before you want to start taking something like a herb, sometimes when you're dealing with lower back pain and things of that nature, sometimes what's causing the pain is dehydration. So that's the first thing you should ask, okay, is am I dehydrated? Now, you can actually be drinking enough water or not drinking enough water and begin to drink more water and think you're going to hydrate in a day or two. In many cases, if you're dehydrated, it's going to take you a while to rehydrate. Sometime a week, 2 weeks, sometime a couple of months. Because remember, to get the levels back up to where it needs to be for healthy amounts of water in the body. Not only that, for people who can't tolerate non-steroidal inflammatory drug or NSAIDs, white willow bark might be a very, very good option for you. Again, so there we talk about just a little bit of information about white willow bark. It's quite a bit of information that we could discuss, and it becomes especially effective when you combine it with other known anti-inflammatory herbs or supplements. And you can make a very, very powerhouse of a pain reliever by combining some of these things together. Now we have about 6 minutes left, and I'm going to see if I can get another herb in here, and I know we won't finish it, but we can get started. And I'm trying to decide, should I do mullein or should I do olive leaf? We'll do olive leaf, which is olive leaf extract, which is one of the natural antibiotics, herbal antibiotics. Now, there's been research with regard to olive leaf, as well as clinical experience that suggests that olive leaf extract is actually beneficial in treating a number of conditions caused by viruses, retroviruses, bacteria, and protozoa. In other words, it is a natural antibiotic, as I said earlier. And not only that, it appears, according to some of the research, to be what they call a true antiviral compound. It actually has the ability to interfere with critical amino acid production for viruses. So viruses need this amino acid in the process of reproducing themselves, and yet olive leaf extract appears to be able to interfere with this process, and therefore it can contain viral infection by inactivating viruses through preventing virus budding or assembly. And on that, it has the ability to penetrate and infect cells and stop viral replication even there. So even after your cells become infected, olive leaf extract has the capacity to enter to the cell and stop the destruction of the virus by doing it. That is amazing. Now, if you were going to be given or created a synthetic antibiotic that was able to do this, you would be paying an exorbitant amount of money to be able to produce something that can do this as effectively as this natural remedy can. Again, olive leaf extract. Olive leaf extract also has the ability to prevent, as I said earlier, infected cells and stop replication. Now, it also can be effective against antibiotic-resistant bacteria, yeast strains, as well as fungi that cause problems. A lot of times, because of the prevalence that we're seeing now, we have seen over the years of giving so many antibiotics, many of the time they don't work anymore. And so olive leaf extract, being a natural antibiotic, you would never have to worry about that. There's no virus or bacteria in the natural world that can invent or come up with, if you will, a system that will prevent or become resistant to these natural remedies, garlic, olive leaf extract, and some of the other ones. And so, again, we're talking about olive leaf, which is a very, very powerful and effective natural antibiotic. Now, some of the other research behind it has actually shown, again, as I said earlier, it can be effective against antibiotic-resistant bacteria, yeast strains, as well as fungi that actually produce issues in the body that can lead to chronic fatigue and immune dysfunction syndromes. It's also very effective against parasites, both protozoa as well as worms. And there are some more specific benefits of olive leaf extract. And we'll talk about them. Maybe we'll have time next. We're down about 3 minutes. Maybe we can get started on about one or two of them. Some of the more specific benefits are it's been used for chronic fatigue syndrome as well as fibromyalgia, which I have a lot more to say upon those. But I actually believe that both of those connected with adrenal fatigue or adrenal exhaustion. And this is why you would have chronic fatigue syndrome. If you were tired all the time or felt fatigue all the time, you can be sure that your adrenal glands are going to be associated in that, almost without question. And so that's not any doubt in my mind about that. Anyway, olive leaf extract has been shown to help to be beneficial. There's been actually physicians have reported that people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia are often helped by olive leaf extract. And people with these syndromes have reported recovery in many cases 1 month of beginning and taking the supplement. Yeah, so that's amazing. They have also reported higher spirits, more energy, and a stronger sense of well-being from taking olive leaf extract, which we tend to believe me that in their rundown state, maybe the viruses or bacteria have been given an opportunity to grow and proliferate, and there may be low-level subclinical infection there in the body. And so that may be one of the reasons that olive leaf extract can help in fibromyalgia and in chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, next week, we plan to talk about what else olive leaf extract can be beneficial in helping to do, like in heart. We'll talk a little bit about heart disease and high blood pressure, the herpes virus infection and olive leaf extract, yeast infections and olive leaf extract. And then maybe we'll move on from olive leaf extract to Oregon grape root, I want to thank you for joining me. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You've been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. Hope that you will join me next week at the same time. We'll still be on our prime time, 7 to 8. And again, this broadcast, rebroadcast, will be available if you join in the middle of the show, you didn't catch, or you came in, or you didn't catch all the show, and you would like to catch the remainder of it. The replay will be available here at blogtalkradio.com/Phase 3 Wellness. That's blogtalkradio.com/Phase 3 Wellness. Until next week, thank you, and you have a blessed week.